This is Inman's Real Estate Radio, where we go behind the scenes with the industry's movers and shakers to learn what's next for real estate. For more insight, news, and analysis, visit Inman.com. Here's your host, Bernice Ross.
Welcome. This is Bernice Ross at RealEstateCoach.com, and I'm very happy to have Steve Cook join us. He's my favorite economist. He is the publisher of Real Estate Economy Watch. Welcome, Steve, and we're eager to hear about your outlook for 2017.
Thank you, Bernice. It's great to be with you again. Well, let's first talk about 2016, because we've had just an extraordinary year in real estate, one that broke some records, that set some new, and I think was just good news all the way around. And one of the major reasons was that interest rates absolutely once again fooled everybody and stayed remarkably low for most of the year. And the second reason is that we've had incomes increase, and we've actually seen, you know, the employment drop, the economy incrementally get better. All of that came together to create just an astounding level of sales. We've seen sales now, we're going to end 2016, something like 6 or 7% in total sales above a year ago, which is great. But the other part of the equation is we've also seen a very healthy increase in prices. Now, healthy, I guess, is a word that is relative depending on which side of the transaction you're sitting on, whether you're a buyer or a seller. But we're going to see prices that have increased in the 4 to 5% range. In fact, in the summer, we officially surpassed the peak price for the median home price in America that was first set in 2006 during the peak of the home buying boom. But officially, according to the Case-and-Shiller Index, we are now higher than that level. So the median house in America is now priced higher than it ever has been in the history of our nation. So there's a lot of things to look at in the year past that are really extraordinary. We've sold a lot of homes, a lot more homes than probably people anticipated. You know, generally the whole picture has increased a lot. There's one thing that hasn't happened, though, and that is that home ownership as a rate has not increased. And the real reason for that is not that we haven't sold a lot of homes, but the whole market for people to buy homes, the number of people who are out there who really want to own homes, which is a great thing, and particularly many of them are young buyers, have not been able to find the homes that they want to buy. And so we still have slightly flattening, declining level of home ownership, as many people are living in rentals today who'd rather be owning a home. The 5.6 million rate of sales that we're going to be looking at this year is higher than we've had since the height of the home boom. So that's another thing. Just simply the number of homes sold has increased. It's about a million more than we were in the very darkest days. That's a lot of homes. The number of homes that were sold across America has reached a new peak as well.
So, Steve, what are you predicting for 2017?
Well, let's start talking about sales. And I think one of the hard things about the forecasters looking at 2017 is there's just a lot of questions out there about the economy, a lot of questions about interest rates, a lot of questions about the new government in Washington and what its impact may be. So it's maybe a little bit harder, you know, and maybe the crystal balls of the economists are a little bit foggier than they normally are. But I think that generally the consensus is rates are going up. In fact, right as we end the year, rates on a 30-year fixed mortgage are 4.355%, which is higher than they've been in years. That's the Freddie Mac number. And higher than we're anticipated. And in fact, that's a rate that's even higher than people are anticipating next year. So, you know, it's possible that rates might decline somewhat, but I think that generally there's a belief that we're going to see that gradual increase of interest rates progressing above the 4% level that has been predicted for 2 or 3 years and it's finally here. I don't think we're going to see what we saw in 2016 when things like Brexit and other events drove rates down. I think that we're going to see a slowly incremental increase in rates. And I think the Federal Reserve is prepared to do that, and they've already said as much. So, number one, I think we're going to see rates higher probably than a lot of people are forecasting, maybe as high as 4.3, 4.4% on a 30-year fixed, which is a big increase from where they were in 2016. Now, you know, the thing about interest rates, it's the funny that, it's a question of perception and reality as far as buyers go. A 50 basis point increase in interest rates on a medium price home raises the monthly price of your mortgage about $20 to $30. Well, you know, people spend more than that on McDonald's every month. Yet the average buyer will sit there and say, my goodness, you know, with interest rates going up 50 basis points, it's just going to cost so much more. Well, they're right over the term of the loan. But, you know, yet that's enough to keep people, you know, renting homes or whatever. So the perception that interest rates are going up tends to have more impact on sales than the reality of interest rates going up. So that's one thing to think about. The other thing to think about is that we'll have a lot of the underlying factors that made sales strong this year continue. We expect to have, you know, unemployment continuing to rise. More and more millennials are reaching a point with lowering their debt, et cetera, and are getting married, ready to have households, and in the market to buy a home. So demand should be strong. The big question is affordability. On the other side, we've got, I've just talked about mortgage rates making buying a home more expensive. The other piece of the equation, of course, well, they have two pieces of the equation, of course, is price. We also expect to see price increases. And finally, inventories. And inventories are an issue that's also been a difficult one for us to solve. So bottom line, hopefully sales will continue to increase, not as much as in 2016. We're not expecting a 7% increase in sales, but I think most of the experts are expecting something between 3 to 5% increase in sales, and then a further decrease as we look ahead into 2018.
So, Steve, what's your outlook in terms of prices? Given that interest rates go up, typically prices come down as the interest rates increase and affordability declines.
Well, that prices could do that, and I think the expectation is that the kind of price increases that we've been seeing are also going to level out in the same degree that we've seen sales level out. There are several things that are going into prices. Of course, demand is key, but the other part is inventories. And I think that we're going to see prices vary a lot geographically, as we have seen in 2016. We're going to see markets that are hotter than others, where you're going to see price increases still pretty strong, and you're going to see markets that aren't nearly so hot, where you're going to see prices essentially flat, you know, maybe not depreciating much at all. In the last couple of years, we've seen a really good run-up in home valuation and prices, and that's basically helped homeowners come and recover from the losses that they incurred during the housing bust. But we're going to probably see prices mellow out to something in the vicinity of maybe 3 to 4% on an average basis, which is still a nice increase in home prices, but it's not as high as we saw in 2016.
Steve, when we were prepping for this call, you made a really interesting observation. You said the stars are aligned to turn rentals back to home ownership. That would represent a major departure from what we've been experiencing probably for about the last decade. Could you elaborate on that for us, please?
Yes, Bernice, this is an issue I've been following, you know, for a lot of years. I used to do a lot of work with the folks who helped generate the early years of the single-family rental boom, which was really one of the more remarkable aspects of what happened during the housing crash. We had those floods of foreclosures, those very low-priced distressed sale homes. I mean, the number of single-family rentals in America increased about 39% during the housing bust. Now, there's nothing, you know, we've always had single-family rentals out there in the marketplace, about 4 million homes, before the housing crash. But now we have something like 14 million homes that are rented out. Most of these homes are owned by mom-and-pops, families, not your big hedge funds, as some people may think. There was a time when the big Wall Street hedge funds tried to enter the industry. Most of them are now gone, and the percentage of these single family rentals they own is very small. But I think that there are some things happening in the economy right now that are going to make 2017 a pretty good time for some of these landlords who may be getting tired of being landlords, think it's a good time to sell. Number one, prices are going to flatten. We had great increases in price appreciation, particularly in the kind of homes these are. These are generally smaller homes. They're homes of maybe 19,000 square feet, something like that. They're one or two bedroom homes. They're great starter homes. They're located largely in suburban areas where there's a significant demand for these kinds of homes. So I think that the market for these kind of homes is going to continue to be very good, but it's not going to be as good as we look forward. I think if I were a landlord thinking about, well, gee whiz, if I was going to sell this home, maybe I'd better do it now rather than later. So I think, number one, prices are going to flatten, and as they look forward to 2017, this might be a good time to do it. Another reason is that single-family rentals are increasingly competing with the tremendous development of new multifamily housing, new apartment buildings that have gone up in major cities across the country, particularly in some of the fastest growing markets. You've had a real boom in multifamily construction, and these new apartment buildings are putting pressure, a downward pressure on rents. So you've got your single family rental out there competing with the apartment and often losing out. Thirdly, these single family rentals are aging, you know, and as they age, they get more expensive to maintain. So you put all these things together, it's more expensive to maintain. The market's a little harder to fill if you lose a tenant here and there. And if you're going to sell, you know, your appreciation is really good and this just might be a good time to do it. I can see a lot of people saying, gosh, you know, I've done well in this with my single family rental. Maybe it's time to put the money in the stock market or some other area, which is also doing pretty good today, and leave the single family rental business. So I think that this is good news for the housing economy, because I think that this could be an unexpected source of new inventory that will put an inventory in the right place in the right kind of home that's really going to help relieve some of the inventory problems we've had. We're still about, you know, we still have about 5% fewer homes to sell right now than we did a year ago. And when you think about the demand, that's a lot. And that's had a real, you know, the tight inventories have had a real forcing up prices. So if we had more homes to sell, we'd be better off. We've been looking to the home builders to help fill that need. And home builders are working really hard to do that, but they've got some real issues too. The biggest is land, the cost of land, the acquisition cost of land, the time it takes for them to get land that they can develop in a good location. All of that together has made it really hard for home builders to try to fill the demand that's being created by new buyers. So one of the expected good things we might see as we look ahead to 2017 is an increasing number of single-family rentals going back into the owner-occupancy market.
Hey, let's take a look at what's going on globally. What are some of the long-term trends that you see globally that may affect the U.S. real estate market?
Well, of course, there's always the economy, and the economy is doing well in America. I mean, I think everybody is looking forward to a continued economic recovery, continued positive growth, both in terms of employment and income and GDP. Of course, there's a lot of questions about that right now in terms of what's going on around the world and also, you know, what's going on in Washington and the new government. It's hard to know. It's just hard to know as we look at it today what this all may mean. In the housing field, I think there's a lot of well-based optimism that a reduction in the, you know, some of the burdensome regulations that we've seen, maybe a continued growth in income that will continue to produce pretty strong demand. So I think that demographically we're going to continue to see demand. In fact, demand stronger than we can meet. And one of the interesting things right now is that we often compare home sales to not to where they might be, but where they were a year ago. We're always talking about, you know, home sales this year over last year. Sometimes that's kind of like driving a car, you know, looking through the rear mirror. What we ought to really be looking at is not where they used to be, but where they could be in terms of the potential demand. And that includes the millennial generation, of course. You know, we have to keep remembering this is the largest generation of new home buyers in the nation's history. And these folks are now getting settled in their jobs, their incomes are incrementally improving, they're settling down, they're getting married, they're having children, and they're looking to buy a home. We know all those things are happening. And one of the big issues, of course, that's been keeping them back is inventory. One of the issues affecting inventory, though, and it's another big long-term trend in this nation, is that we're just plain running out of land that's going to work for people who have to work in downtown locations or have to commute a significant distance. And that gets down to some of the infrastructure issues that America faces for commuters, whether it's public transit or highways or whatever. But as anybody in the real estate business knows, is commuting times is a major factor in home values. You can look at any metropolitan area today and draw circles around, you know, the inner city or the inner employment areas and see home values decrease as you move out in those circles. Well, land is not going to change. It's interesting to look. If you look at appraisals, for example, in a lot of suburban markets, you'll see land appreciating faster than the actual home, particularly obviously older homes. But land values are continuing to grow incrementally year by year by year, And it's just because, you know, they ain't making any more land where we want to live. That's a factor that's going to continue to have a huge impact on real estate, you know, generally across the United States in some ways that may resemble what some of you meant, a more populated, more densely populated European countries have experienced. So, you know, that may mean smaller houses, that may mean smaller lot sets, of course, may mean, you know, greater demand for condos as an option. I think a final trend that we're seeing right now that affects home ownership is, you know, not just an improving economy, but an economy that's not equal across the board. I think that we're seeing greater divergence in economic income, so that we're seeing, you know, a certain percentage of the economy, a percentage of the population that can afford to become homeowners, and a percentage of the population that simply can't. And particularly with a lot of the new regulations and rules that have been put in place on lending standards and FICOs and debt levels and things like that, you know, there's a certain growing number of young people who just, you know, aren't in an economic position to be able to afford houses that are themselves increasingly expensive. So, you know, the line between who can be a homeowner and who cannot be a homeowner is growing, and it's increasing. So those are some of the bigger factors I see affecting housing in the near future.
So bottom line, what can we expect for 2017? You want to sum it up in a sentence or two for us?
I think that 2017 is going to be a good year. It's not going to probably be as great a year as 2016, but home values will continue to appreciate probably in the 3-5% range. Of course, that's going to vary a lot by where you are and what kind of house you're looking at. You're going to see home sales decline, but not a terrible amount. Again, a lot of it's going to depending on interest rates. I personally think interest rates are going to keep rising, and I think they're probably going to keep rising faster than a lot of people expect. That's also going to, of course, have an impact on sales. So 2017 will be a good year. It's not going to be as good a year as this was, but it may be a better year as we look forward. A lot of the forward-looking forecasts out there that look into 2018, 2019, see that a lot of these factors continue to kind of level off and return to the kind of, you know, economy that we used to see in the housing sector maybe 10, 15 years ago. Some people call it the new normalcy or whatever, in moderation, but, you know, sales in the 5 million range and house appreciation maybe 5% a year as an average.
Thank you very much, Steve. We've been visiting with Steve Cook. He's the publisher of Real Estate Economy Watch, and Steve has given us his 2017 outlook for first quarter. Thank you, Steve, for being with us.
This is Bernice Ross, and thank you for joining us for MN Real Estate Radio. Be sure to tune in next Thursday when we'll be back with the industry's movers and shakers to learn what's next for real estate. For more insight, news, and analysis, visit MN.com. Make it a great day.